One of the promises of computer networks is that they will bring the contents of immense libraries into everybody's home. Paintings, manuscripts, rare books will be available instantly to students in every corner of the country as long as they have access to the Internet. The Library of Congress is trying to create such a digital library, and it's turning out to be a lot more complicated and expensive than many people had predicted. NPR's Dan Charles reports.
More than a century ago, before the Civil War, the best view of Niagara Falls was from a huge boulder called Table Rock. Visitors there were invited to write down their thoughts on some open, blank books, the Table Rock albums. Table Rock is not there anymore. It fell into the river one day in the late 1800s. But if you go to the Library of Congress, find your way down a long hallway to the office of Juretta Heckscher, you can find a thin brown book full of writings from Table Rock. Everything from the sublime to the downright silly.
Oh, the wonderful falls of Niagara. Hot, skip, and jump, and here we are plump at the wonderful falls of Niagara. Of all stupid asses, I call you the trump. In climbing Parnassus, you fell on your rump, and your brains of molasses fell out with a plump.
This book was published in 1850. It's still in pretty good shape.
This is a wonderful peek into people's response to natural scenery and great natural beauty in the early 19th century. It's really quite rare. It's something that was one of these sort of undiscovered minor treasures in the Library of Congress.
And no longer do you need to visit the Library of Congress to see it. Juretta Heckscher walks to another room in the library, sits down at a computer, and starts navigating through the Internet's World Wide Web. She could be anywhere at this point, anywhere where there's a computer connected to the Internet. Somewhere out there in this web of data is a collection of materials on the early conservation movement in the United States with an electronic version of the Table Rock album.
So this is the Library of Congress homepage, and the National Digital Library collections are accessible off it. What you do, for instance, to get to the collection on the conservation movement is click on the icon for American Memory.
A few more steps, and Heckscher has found it.
Okay. There we have the title page in page image form.
Other collections are here as well. Photographs from the Civil War, manuscripts from the Continental Congress, pamphlets from the women's suffrage movement, and early recordings of political speeches. Here, for instance, is Corinne Roosevelt Robinson, Teddy Roosevelt's sister, declaring her support for the Warren Harding Calvin Coolidge ticket in 1920.
We need the Republican Party in office during the hard days to come, when there must be the upbuilding and rebuilding of our nation. We need preparedness for days of peace and against the always possible dangers of war.
This is the digital library, a library without walls, where no matter where you are, masterpieces of art and literature are only a few keystrokes away, where the book you want is never loaned out. There's always a copy on file available instantly. It's an attractive vision and a trendy one. The Library of Congress has raised more than $20 million for this program from private donors, mostly major corporations. It's hoping to raise $25 million more. Carl Fleischauer, a coordinator of the Digital Library Program, says soon after the first collections went online, the library did a detailed survey of how these materials were being used in schools.
The striking result was the signs of enthusiasm that emerged from the K-12 community, I think rather more than we had expected.
Elementary and high school teachers are under a lot of pressure these days, not just to teach facts, says Fleischauer, but to teach critical thinking skills, how to find information and evaluate it.
And there's nothing like facing an old document to get the kids thinking pretty hard about what it might mean.
Part of the reality of the digital library, though, is it's expensive and complicated to create even a small one.
One of the most striking things that we discovered during our pilot project was how challenging a book can be.
A book, Fleischauer explains, is many things at once. It's a complicated physical artifact, sometimes beautiful just to look at or handle. It may contain pictures and, of course, lots of words. The challenge starts with the process of scanning each page into the computer, capturing an electronic image of it. It's a bit like making a photocopy of each page, but it takes quite a while, especially if you want to avoid destroying the book in the process. But this is the easy part. Visitors to the digital library probably want to search through the text of the book, looking for particular chapter headings or particular words. You can't do that if you just have a picture of each page. To search the text, the computer has to be able to recognize the letters and words on each page. Emily Baker, who also works with the Digital Library Project, says computers still don't do that very well.
It is possible, as you probably know, to do what they call optical character recognition, to have a scanning machine which also puts the text into machine-readable form. The error rate with that is about 20%, which is unacceptable for digitizing library materials.
That high error rate is partly because the Library of Congress is handling old books with odd, unusual, and faded type. The library requires an accuracy of at least 99.5%, which still means a typo on almost every page. To meet even that accuracy standard, contractors for the Digital Library Program are now retyping entire books into computers. Some are done in this country. The Table Rock album, though, was retyped by workers in the Philippines. In fact, each page was typed separately by two different people. Then the two copies were compared to catch any errors. It doesn't end there. More work goes into designing the way the materials will be formatted and presented on the screen and indexed. In the end, library officials estimate it costs $6 to $8 per page to put a book online. The only books that are worth the effort are probably rare ones, books that most people won't actually be able to lay their hands on. The library's Carl Fleischauer.
The reading of a book is much better, I think, not in a computer, but in one's hands.
Compared to books, images of posters and paintings, even recordings of sound and movies, can be more easily captured by a computer. Much of the library's digital collection, in fact, is filled with pictures, especially early photographs. The digital library probably will never, though, be more than a tiny sample of the library's regular collections. Consider this. After spending $60 million over the next 5 years, the library hopes its digital library will hold some 2 to 3 million items, such as manuscripts and images. Just for comparison, the Library of Congress has 20 million items in storage that it hasn't even cataloged yet. It has more than 4.5 million items just in its collection of maps. The only drawback is you have to go there to see them. This is Dan Charles in Washington.